Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd. On the Double with the Double S Express.
I'm gonna pop some tags. Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm hunting, looking for a come up. This is being awesome.
What's going on, everybody? Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd here for On the Double with the Double S Express. Big guest tonight that was in that open, and that is Wands, Michael Wansley, coming up later on in the show, Sean.
Hey, man, I am definitely looking forward to Michael Wansley. I mean, you talk about Seattle bred, and actually we'll take it a step further. Lakes High School. Can you believe that? Another Lakes High School grad on the double. And we'll be talking to Michael Wansley. Exciting stuff, Sean Wally.
Man, that's 2 weeks in a row, Lakes High School making it to the Double S Express here, buddy. But, hey, speaking of lakes in the Lakewood area, let's go out to John Wittig, otherwise known as Foo Man, waiting out there, who wants to, be a little moderator and send us some sports questions. John, what's going on?
What's up, fellas? How you guys doing out there? Sean? Got love for both of you guys. Michael Wansley, a Lakewood cat, also a Siwu Wildcat. Ellensburg,
yes.
We got prayers and thoughts for all those folks out there in Eastern Washington with all the fires and stuff going on. But if you guys have heard, Ohio State football season's right up around the corner. The Buckeyes, the first ever unanimous preseason number one in the history of the AP poll. Braxton Miller, arguably the best player ever in the Big Ten, two-time MVP, injured last year, opening the door for J.T. Barnett and Cardell Jones, who both had very, very successful seasons themselves. Now, Braxton Miller moving to the wide receiver position to explore his NFL options. The team bringing back everybody, basically. What do you guys think? Also rounding out the top 10, you got TCU, who was snubbed by the playoff system last year. Number 3, Bama, Baylor, and Michigan State.
Well, I can tell you this. I mean, you know, when you're talking about Ohio State, John, I mean, you talk about a bag of riches, if you will. I mean, Jim Caldwell, Cardell Jones fighting it out for the quarterback spot. I'm sorry. Cardell Jones and JT Barnett fighting it out for the quarterback spot with Braxton Miller moving to receiver. I mean, my goodness, man. Of course they're going to be ranked number one in the country. Here's the thing, though, is because it's unanimous, it's something that hasn't been done. You said since 1972, John?
Since the inception of the AP poll, it's never happened. In 2013, the Alabama Crimson Tide was coming off back-to-back national championships in 2011-2012, and they had 58 of the 60 first-place votes. Ohio State this year has swept all 60 first-place votes by the AP writers.
So here's what I'm looking at. Of course, this looks like Ohio State is definitely going to have a clean sweep of this whole thing going all the way through. But there's always something that trips a team up. This is something that's never happened, but at the same time, I can't see Ohio State going from beginning to end winning the national title. Man, who do I have upsetting Ohio State in the national title? I mean, it could be anybody's guess. I do like TCU. I think that they are loaded. And as a preseason favorite, I would have to go with TCU. Sean Wally, what say you?
Well, come on now. I know that, Sean Boyd, you've got a love for the Oregon Ducks, and there's a quarterback there new to Oregon that is chomping at the bit to play NCAA Division I football, FBS football. Vernon Adams making the switch from Eastern Washington, and he's now going to have his chance under the bright lights.
Well, you know, here's the thing with Vernon Adams. Vernon Adams had a tough time getting into the University of Oregon. All the way up to just this past week, he had to pass a math test to get into grad school at the University of Oregon. So this hasn't started out the way that he's wanted it to, but I do believe that the University of Oregon will always be there in the end. They're just not a national title team. They're a great, great team, and my son's going to kill me for this. They're an awesome, awesome team that brings excitement to NCAA football. But when push comes to shove, Big Ten, Big 12, SEC, they just can't hold weight with those types of teams. And I see them, you know, possibly ending up in the top four but not winning the title.
Seriously? They were in the title game this past fall.
Yeah, well, I mean, again, the Oregon Ducks get to a certain point and they can't get over the top.
Speaking of the Oregon Ducks, they are ranked seventh in the preseason poll, right after the Auburn team, Mr. Boyd, your alma mater.
In That's
addition,
right.
You have USC from representing the Pac-12, the University of Georgia after losing Todd Hurley, and Florida State losing Jameis Winston, the Heisman Trophy winner from 2 years ago, number one overall pick. But speaking of USC, let's talk real quick. Steve Sarkisian brought some bad press to the Trojans coming to the fundraiser the other night, and apparently he had a few too many drinks and got a little passionate during his rah-rah speech. And as a leader, I mean, it's not like he got pulled over or anything like that, folks. Let's be real about this. He's a football coach. He's out there and he's partying with the rest of the bigwigs and shaking hands, rubbing elbows and stuff. So, yeah, he had a few drinks. Who hasn't had a few drinks when they've been out? He might have had a few too many, but it's not like he was out and got pulled over and got a DUI. He's out here having a fundraiser. He had a few drinks, and he said a few things that maybe we can be critical about. But did Steve Sarkisian do anything wrong, really?
John, Foo Man, I can't believe that you're questioning this. First of all, we're talking about Steve Sarkisian, the head coach of the USC Trojans. It is a fundraiser. There are certain people that cannot relate to overzealousness, especially when they're putting in hundreds of thousands of dollars into this program. And it's the things that Steve Sarkisian said. So what he was saying was is the rest of the Pac-12 basically sucks, and he was pretty much overzealous in his speaking. But more importantly, it was the look that Steve Sarkisian had in this gala that they were having, this fundraiser. It looked like he was drunk. He was saying things that were slurred to the point that athletic director Pat Hayden had to pull him aside backstage and really had to rip him one. And let's not forget that Steve Sarkisian did apologize for this, and he basically explained that this was something that was out of character, out of pocket. It shouldn't have happened, and he's still apologizing for this. What about you, Sean Wally?
Well, Coach Sark has, on a personal note, been divorced recently, and who knows whether or not alcohol was a factor or not, but there are some that say it was a factor in his marriage. And really, on a broader scale, who at USC is allowing him to take the podium knowing that he is a bit too tossed to have the public eye with everybody having a camera phone, hitting record, sending out tweets? That is not what you want your program to be viewed as.
No, not at all.
Well, in other words, Sean Wally, what you're saying is that Steve Sarkisian and his crew didn't have a fall guy, somebody that was there to take care of him, which is a segue into Chris Carter, who last year at the NFL rookie symposium, advised the young players, if you're going to still make mistakes and be stupid, because nobody's going to be perfect, if you're going to make a mistake and if you're going to hang around with the crew and support them financially, somebody's got to be the guy to take the fall guy. Thoughts, gentlemen?
Man, am I going to be the voice of reason in this all the time? You know, I'm looking forward to the next few weeks here with Foo Man coming in with some great questions. I'm going to answer this one, and I want you guys to pay attention. So here's to answer your question, Foo. There's a difference between having the right people in your circle, making sure that you do the right things, as to having somebody take the fall for you when you commit a criminal act. Now, what Chris Carter was explaining at the symposium, I know Jim Caldwell said that it's much ado about nothing, But when you think about this, we're talking about young rookies that are getting ready to embark on a great NFL career, and they're getting paid millions and millions of dollars. And one of the greatest things that you could possibly give as a Hall of Famer and Chris Carter is you say that, hey, make sure that you have a fall guy, one that if you get into any trouble will take the blame for you and possibly get arrested for you. I just don't see how that benefits anybody. I know that it might benefit the friend of
that's your
who goes
interpretation
to jail.
Now. That's your interpretation. And I was watching His and Hers today, and the two folks weren't there that are normally there. And the guest speaker that was hosting the show said that Steve Sarkisian, somebody in his crew, should have stopped him from getting up on that stage. And Chris Carter, although, like you said, Jim Caldwell said, he's a very passionate football player. He cares about the league. He's a guy that went through his own trials and tribulations with drug abuse and things like that and turned it around and made a Hall of Fame career out of it. With today's issues on race and character, the IK imprimatur from, busting Geno Smith in the jaw, you got Aaron Hernandez in jail. You got the defensive end from Boise State that transferred to Baylor. I'll tell you guys right now, mark my words, Baylor is already gone and Art Briles is fired.
Well, John, that is a slippery slope and a great topic for debate. We will take that up on another show when we have the time that it warrants to get to all that. We thank you for coming on today, and we look forward to having you on in the next few weeks and get to these hot topics and get to the meat of the sports world. Thanks for your time, John Fu Man in the Lakewood, Washington area.
Thanks, guys. Love you lots. Tell Wansley, go Wildcats. See Wu in the house. Peace.
All right, we'll do.
Man, Sean, there's so much to get to in depth and really dive into those deep subjects that, man, a lot of those things that John's bringing to the table needs more than 5, 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah, and I look forward to this segment. This is something that, for all of our listeners, we are bringing something new to the table. And it is what we're trying to do is bring up the discussions that are big in the mainstream that you probably want some of the answers to. And so, stick with us. This is going to be a great segment, and we'll definitely sharpen it up as the shows go along. But I look forward to having Fu on here and bringing up some more hot topics, Sean Wally.
Yeah, and if you're out there listening in the internet phone app radio world, hey, send us a tweet. Hit us up on Facebook. Let us know what we should call that new thing that we're embarking on with Fu Man, with John Wittig out of the Lakewood area, being the moderator, bringing in topics for us to debate.
Yeah, and so I am. I'm looking forward to those things. And man, I didn't know that it was going to really draw an ire here, but that's fun. That's fun stuff, Sean. So, stick with us. Going to get a lot sharper. And I'm excited about it.
Well, we're excited for our very first guest tonight. And to give you a taste of who he is, let's take a listen to Wands at Work.
I wear your granddad's clothes. I look incredible. I'm in this big air coat from that thrift shop down the road. I wear your granddad's clothes.
Damn right.
I look incredible.
Now, come on, man.
In this bigger boat, from that thrift shop down the road. I'm gonna pop some tags, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm hunting, looking for a come up. This is being awesome.
That is Wands at Work on Thrift Shop. Michael Wansley joining us now on the Chandler Reach Hotline. Michael, thanks for your time tonight.
Bum, ba, bum, bum, bum. What's going on?
What's going on, Michael Wansley, a.k.a. T-Wands, or Wands, if you're the homie. Man, thanks for being here on the double with the Double S Express. Whenever I hear that song, man, I have to get, I'm sitting here, I'm dancing in my seat, just some exciting things that you've done, man. And kudos and congratulations to you.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Well, you know, it is very tough to make it into the music industry. And of course, you growing up in the Seattle area and actually being more defined in the Lakewood area, of course, a Lakes High School grad. I'm going to have to ask you, man, who is the most famous Lancer grad? I mean, we can pick a whole bunch, a slew of people, but man, who would that be? I'm just going to give you 2 seconds.
The first people that come to mind are, of course, number 15 for our Seattle Seahawks, Jermaine Kearse. And after that, Robert Cray, who I did not know was a Lakes High School grad, but he is, and we talked about that. After that, I haven't run into any other grads.
Well, where would you throw your – so basically you're saying you're number 3.
I guess I would have to be number 3. I'd probably be more like number 5. I just don't – I'm just not – you know, my ego is pretty small.
Well, man, you know, we bring this show all across, all around the world, and it's amazing how some of our guests, we just wind up finding that, you know, that likeness. Of course, we just had Fu Man on, and he asked a few questions. He is a Central Washington University grad and also a CP alum, along with yours truly, who is a CP alum. Man, let's just make it a Lakewood thing. How about that?
It could be a Lake Town thing, but you know, meet me at the McDonald's on 100th Street. We'll talk about it.
You got it, man. You got it. And so I do want to ask you a little bit on how the career started. And of course, you had some tough times, but you know, almost to the point to where you said that, man, I have to change careers. And you went right into the software test engineer.
No. You have to define which career you're talking about. I've had 3 different careers.
Wow. And that's likely as far as when you're trying to make it in the music biz, you have to make ends meet in order to actually get that start going. And so explain how that happened and how that went.
Well, I got the buzz. I got the bug to play in bands and do music and try to make a living out of doing music in 84 when I was in Ellensburg at Central going to the now burnt down long time ago Ranch Tavern. And I moved over here into Seattle in 86 and put together a band called Life Ring, which didn't really do much. Nobody knew where to put us because we were somewhere between the Red Hot Chili Peppers and Living Color. But my first job was working at Tower Records, and then going into the 90s, I started delivering hair care products for the Sebastian Hair product rep, you know, their warehouse. And I did that for 10 years. The band didn't pan out, and I had a barback job in addition to my day job. Got into another band called the Ghetto Monks in the late 90s and going into 2000. And that's when I made the jump to software because a friend of mine had given me a computer and told me I could make music on it. You know, hard disk recording was pretty primitive then, and Windows operating systems weren't very stable then. But, you know, I challenged myself to teach myself this stuff, and that led to me getting a contract testing software at Microsoft. And I did Microsoft till about 2010. And then got out of Microsoft and got a really good job downtown for a little software company. And I thought everything was cool. Great job, great bennies, great pay, one bus, not having to cross the lake. And I get a phone call one night and the guy says, you ever heard of this guy named Macklemore? And I said, nah, I've heard of him, but I don't know him. And an hour later, I was shaking hands with Ben and Ryan, and they played me the song, and they put me in the booth. 45 minutes later, I was going home, not even realizing what was about to happen. And then on August 29th, 2012, yes, the 3-year anniversary is coming up this weekend, y'all, Thrift Shop dropped, and it changed my life profoundly. For a guy who had spent almost 25, 30 years banging in clubs, to empty chairs, all of a sudden I went on tour, quit my day job, and went from playing 1,500 to 2,000 seat arenas to playing 8,000 to 60,000 seat arenas over the last 2.5, 3 years. And that came to an end this last fall, and I spent last fall and most of this year trying to figure out, well, what am I going to do now? And that's led me back to, I just got a day job again, testing software, and, you know, the ride, you know, it's just like a roller coaster. It goes up and it goes down, but sooner or later the ride ends. And so now I'm kind of back where I started in 2010.
Michael, what do you remember when you had that first meeting with Macklemore and Ryan Lewis, and 45 minutes you laid down the now infamous track to Thrift Shop? What do you remember thinking when you left there?
I thought it was like the coolest thing ever, that instead of, you know, I had done hooks for many, you know, many rappers in the North End, and they had garnered the reputation as Nate Dogg of the North End, but they always paid me in cash. These guys paid me with a check, and it said Macklemore LLC on the top of it. It was a real check, like a paycheck.
And not I one was, of those C-first checks.
That impressed me because, you know, rappers, I mean, back in the day, in the early 2000s, when I first started going, you know, rappers were nefarious people, man. They were, you know, drug dealers and pimps and all this other stuff. And, you know, they got their money to feed their habit of, oh, I can talk about the streets. I can rhyme. I can do this. And they go in and lay their bars, but they couldn't sing. And so they, you know, I my reputation spread pretty fast and furious that, oh, I sounded like Nate Dogg, and everybody loves Nate Dogg, so they had me come in and sing on their joints. But, yeah, that's the thing that I take away. That, and they were the most, I would say, unassuming people that I had ever met as far as people in the rap game. They weren't your atypical rap duo, producer-rapper duo at all, not even close.
Michael, what did you learn about fans around the world when you would travel the entire globe, play in front of, as you said, anywhere from 5, 8, 10, 15, up to 50, 60,000 people. What did you learn traveling the world?
You know, I gained my reputation on tours. The guy who would go out and meet the fans, I'd go out before shows, you know, hours before sound check, you know, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 p.m. in the afternoon. And there were always kids waiting in line. I mean, in Warsaw, there was a girl that had waited there. She got there at like 4:45 in the morning, and the doors weren't opening until 7 p.m. that night. But I'd go out and chop it up with these kids, and I noticed, you know, the kids all over the world are, you know, of a certain age, I'd say between 15 and 25. They are the same in Paris as they are in Belgium, as they are in Barcelona, as they are in Perth, as they are in Madison, Wisconsin. They're all the same. They all have the same concerns, the same worries, the same troubles. And here's the really weird thing. Kids of that age who are worried about what they look like, who their friends are, what are they going to do with their lives, it's eerie the similarity between them and adults in their mid-40s to mid-50s who have gone through career changes, divorces, and empty nesters whose kids have gone off to college. They all have those same fears. It's ironic.
Michael Wansley joining us here on The Double. And, of course, Mike, you explained that you went through the tough bar scenes, you know, that just it being empty, you know, sometimes. But, of course, you knew you were doing great work. Was there ever a time, and I believe I'm answering the question, that you just said, hey, this isn't going to work out, and there's no way that, you know, this is my career. You know, I might as well just, you know, find this new career to hang on to.
Well, you know, I never ever gave up on music. There was only one period of time I gave up on music. But I mean, you said I was doing great work, and I was like, man, if I was doing such great work, where are the damn people? You know, where are the people? You know, the 8 or 10 people that would come to see me and Life Ring at the Color Box and at the Central and up at the Far Side that's now gone, up at the Northgate, you know. People, they would say, oh, God, you guys are so great. You're so great. Next gig we do, there's, you know, half those people there. And I thought that was really funny. I thought it was ironic, you know. And back in the day, you know, the Internet was new, and we really didn't have the music business machine and social media that came, you know, in the late 2000s. But, man, in the 90s, when I was hanging out in the bars with Pearl Jam, Soundgarden, you know, Mother Love Bone, all those cats. You know, we were hanging posters on telephone poles. And those guys would get, you know, packed shows at Sit and Spin and at Rock Candy, and my shows were desolate. And so it was like, I don't understand what it was, even though those guys would come and see my bands, and they'd go, okay, you guys are great, but couldn't get on a bill with them. But I never stopped believing that I had something to say, and I could, you put me in front of a crowd and give me a microphone and something's going to happen. Until about 2008, 2009, I had had that upheaval in my life where, you know, what I thought was my life wasn't my life. I wasn't happy. Music wasn't happening. I was tired of pushing and pushing and pushing and nothing happening. And it took another musician to tell me, dude, you remember, we don't do it for the fame. We do it because we love music.
That's good stuff.
And it wasn't until he told me that it was like, wow, I'd been grinding for decades, all because I believed what kids in elementary school, junior high school, and college told me. You're going to be famous. You're so good. I believed the hype. And, you know, I thought I had put in work, but it wasn't paying off. And so, you know, there's a certain point in time when you have to realize that, you know, what you're doing isn't working and you have to change. And so what I changed is I stopped trying to be in bands and just started writing in my apartment. And I wrote about what I was going through, trying, you know, what do I do? How do I feel now that the dream that I've had all my life isn't going to happen? And those songs, you know, 4 out of the 5 songs on my EP Wander are about me figuring my way out of that forest.
Now, Wands, did you ever imagine, could you ever imagine, of course, you were saying that you were called the Nate Dogg of the North End. Is that what it was? Nate Dogg of the North. So could you ever imagine that you would actually do a song with Warren G?
No.
And, you know, and have that and have, you know, that Nate Dogg feel with Warren G. I mean, that is just amazing, man. Amazing. Yeah. And kudos to you.
Well, see, we came out of a Macklemore show ended, I think it was at Boston Gardens, and after the show and after the meet and greets and all that other stuff, you know, you gather all your stuff together, you go back to the bus so you can head off to the next destination. And, you know, there's still people waiting outside. And so I'm on my way to the bus and shaking hands and taking pictures. And off in the distance, not very far away, I hear this kid going, oh, man, he's just trying to be like Nate Dogg. He's just riding coattails. And I didn't say anything. But when I got to the back to the bus, I got kind of pissed. I said to myself, oh, you want to hear me sound like Nate Dogg? You want to see me try to be like Nate Dogg? And the next day, I put that beat together. And the day after that, I put a hook on it. And 2 days after that, I sent it to Grinch and Critical, because Critical was one of the first guys I ever recorded a hook with. And Grinch was a newfound friend from the summer before, you know, and I really liked his work on his Perspective record and City Lights as well. Well, what I didn't know was that Grinch and Warren were tight. So Grinch sent Warren the track. I didn't think anything of it. I met Warren at South by Southwest 2013. But, you know, and he asked me, you know, he told me he was going to do a 20th anniversary record for Regulators and asked me if I was interested. I said, sure. But it never happened, right? But I didn't know that Grinch was going to turn around and send him that song. And so, sure enough, it was jaw-dropping when I got the text from Grinch saying, Warren, well, let me just forward you the email. And all the email said was, save the last 12 for me. I was like, damn! 3 weeks later, got the verse from him, and it was going to be, and I couldn't do it because after meeting with him and him talking about Nate, because I asked him about him, and he told me, and it was that feeling that you get when one friend is talking about a dear friend. And I had to put his verse up front. And, you know, went into the studio and Critical and Grinch cut their verses and put that thing together, and I couldn't wait to get it out, even though I should have. But hindsight is always 20/20. Join is out there, and it's, you know, it's done pretty well for itself, even waiting so long for the visual to come out. A lot of people respect the fact that, you know, I reached what my goal was, which was to come correct and to get props from Warren, you know, by lacing the song and being in the video. And I've even met Nate's youngest son. And he, you know, gave me props on it. So, mission accomplished.
Wands, when you look at your story and where you've come from and the height of Thrift Shop, what does that say about a person's dreams, whether it be in music or somebody who wants to be a teacher or a pro athlete?
Well, what I told all these kids that I met in front of shows, I always told them the same thing, because this was my experience. I mean, I don't talk about anything I don't know about, but the one thing I know about is my experience. If you keep breathing, you stay alive long enough, you learn a few things. That's how you get from middle school to college and from college to, like, wherever you go. But what I told these kids is, if you do something that makes you happy, and especially if it makes somebody else happy, never, ever, ever stop doing it, because you just never know where it could take you. Because that was my experience. I mean, you got to keep in mind, every dream that I've ever had since I can remember has come true in the last 3 years. Everything. When it comes to music and stuff, yeah, everything has come true in the last 3 years. Thrift Shop, it blessed me with every single dream I've ever had.
What has been your favorite moment in the last 3 years, whether it be winning awards, traveling the world, people you've met?
I would have to say my favorite moment that I'll never forget was sitting on the floor of Grammys right behind Ben and Ryan, and my phone buzzed, and a buddy of mine sent me a picture, and it just said Wands on the bottom of it.
Wow. Yeah, that was
heavy, dude. Because, you know, 10 feet away is a camera. I can't really react because I'm sitting right behind Ben and Ryan, and, you know, I wasn't going to make them look bad. But that was the moment that it was real. I mean, the only moment that was realer than that was about 4 months later when the box showed up, and I opened the box, and there was the statue.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Thrift Shop.
Man.
Macklemore and Ryan Lewis. F-E-A-T, period, Wands.
So, hey, Wands, now here's another one that I was thinking. Of course, you and Macklemore, you guys performed at the halftime at the NFC Championship game.
Yep.
I mean, man, you got to explain, because that was the San Francisco-Seattle game a couple of years ago.
Yep.
And my goodness, I can only imagine. So Sean Wally and myself, we're down on the field. And, you know, just the adrenaline rush from actually working for Fox was great. But you guys were up there on the podium singing your hit song. I mean, what was that like?
Well, you got to remember, the Hawks were sucking bad that first half. They were not the Hawks that we expected to see that day. And, you know, it turned cold and windy and, you know, the exhilaration of being at that high a level and in that stadium was pretty exhilarating, but the time went by just like that, because we made a medley out of Thrift Shop and Can't Hold Us, right? Because we only had like 5 minutes. So my time up there wasn't that big. But what I noticed is, you know, after the Can't Hold Us section of that, the whole vibe of the place changed. And when the whole vibe of the place changed, the vibe of the team changed. And I'm not saying that we directly had anything to do with that, but I will say we were part of whatever energy started to gather there that led to the tip that sealed it for us. You know, I'm not taking away from my man Jermaine Kearse, who caught, of course, the winning touchdown. Yeah. I'm not going to take it away from him.
So, oh my goodness! Now I got to stop you right now, man. If you say it was a lakes to lakes thing, man, I'm just gonna. That's enough.
Well, it was surreal, because I ran into some partners, and a partner that I graduated with and his brother were all Three Lakes alums, and sitting up in the box in that end zone watching all that go down. And so it's like Kearse catches the ball, and you could not stop us from throwing up double L's. We were going insane. It was crazy.
That's good stuff, man. Good stuff.
Michael yep. Wansley, the pride of Lakes High School, Central Washington Wildcats, and of course, the main voice that everybody loves on Thrift Shop. Thank you so much for your time and your insight tonight, and keep up the good work.
Yeah, man. Definitely. Thanks for having me on, guys. I really appreciate it. And hey, everybody out there, don't forget what I always say. Do something good for yourself, then go do it for somebody else.
That's good stuff.
And check out wandsmusic.com for everything Wands, including the upcoming release of your new EP.
The songs are already being gathered. The storm is gathering, y'all.
Michael Wansley, right, thanks so much for your time tonight.
Absolutely. Thanks, take care.
Whew, man, that is some awesome stuff, Sean Wally. Having Michael Wansley on there and talking about the NFC Championship and all the other things that have been going on with him. We could have went on for hours. Oh, man, but we're going to take a quick break. And when we return, we're going to have guest number two on the double, none other than Kevin Gibbs. So keep it locked in. You're listening to the best sports talk on the double with the Double S Express.
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
I'm Chris Walls, and I'm a truck driver from Missouri. For 13 hours a night, I sit in my truck and I drive. Out of boredom, I'll stop and eat. If I'm not doing fast food, I guarantee there's a bag of chips open on my dashboard. Along with that, I'm good for about 4 liters of soda a night. That was all until Andro 400. I started out 4 months ago weighing 341 pounds. And since taking Andro 400, I have dropped 45 pounds. I'm sleeping better. There's no cravings. There's no excessive thirst. My knee pain went away. I've had some lower back issues, and I've noticed that went away. And I can only contribute that to Andro 400. One thing that Andro 400 said on the radio ad says it attacks belly fat. Well, let me tell you, it did. I've lost 6 inches. This product really does work.
So, guys, if you'd like to experience similar results, then get Andro 400, the safe, natural, and inexpensive way to boost your testosterone. Go to Andro400.com. Andro400.com.
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services, platinum service without the platinum price.
Let's get back to great sports talk with big-time guests on the double with the Double S Express.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd. And let's go right back out to the Chandler Reach Winery Hotline. Welcome in big time guest number two tonight, staying up late on the East Coast, Kevin Gibbs, trainer, coach, and mentor, Shooting for Greatness Academy, shootforgreat.com. Kevin, what's going on tonight?
How you doing, Sean? Thanks for having me.
Well, yeah, man, thanks for being on here. As Sean Wally was saying, you're back on the East Coast, and man, you're burning the midnight oil. And the last time that you were on here, we were talking about shootforgreat.com. We're going to start out with that again, man. I know that you guys are doing some awesome things with the kids and the community. And I hope that Kyle Solomon is up listening to this because, man, we're going to bring it to him, man. So how are things going with the camp?
Everything was going great. And like I was saying, we're finalizing our roster, and we got guys coming from Seattle, West Virginia, New Jersey, Connecticut, Raleigh, Chapel Hill. I mean, we're hitting all cylinders now.
Well, that's some good stuff, man. And so, you know, there is, of course, a video that you had out that talked about mind over matter. So talk about that a little bit, on what that means to the kids and what it means to you.
Mind over matter was a little slogan that I came up with that's been out. But, you know, it's saying mind over matter, meaning that, you know, anything you put your mind to, matter is anything that takes up physical space. So I'm saying that the mind is over that. It's a simple equation. Whatever you put your mind to, your thoughts is ideas. It's over anything that's matter. So mind is over the matter. Once you put your mind to something, there's nothing that can stand in your way.
Kevin, how is it easy or is it tough to get that through to the youth in today's world?
It's very difficult because in today's society, you know, they're not really using the mental part. These guys got some of the most physical gifts that I've ever seen. You got guys jumping out the gym, dribbling, running fast, but, you know, they're not thinking the game. So, you know, if you're not thinking the game, that means you're not thinking life. And how we do here at Shooting for Greatness, we teach life through basketball. So that's why we say mind over matter, because we want them to think life, think basketball, think life, and how does basketball relate to life.
Kevin, what are some of the biggest things that tug at your heartstrings when you're dealing with these youth and you finally get them to see the light, to have that light bulb come on for them and they understand what you're trying to teach them and get them to walk the right path, not only in school, but athletics, academics, and in life?
You know, the greatest thing is, you know, when guys call us, guys email us, we get testimony saying that even after they leave the program, they realize, they say, thank you, Coach Kevin. Thank you, Coach Salomon. Thank you for all the help. I realize what y'all was talking about. Now I'm doing good. I got a 3.0 GPA. I'm the first one in my family to go to college. I'm doing good. I'm the captain of the team. Just good feedback. Just good feedback. And just to know that you made a difference in their lives. Because, you know, you put forth the method and you put forth the techniques, and, excuse me, sometimes you never know who's going to get it. And sometimes, you know, the ones that you least expect be the ones that surprise you the most. So, you know, it really feels good when I see these guys succeeding and being successful. Because, you know, I was taught one time that, you know, you only as great as the people that you bring along with you. You only as great as far as you expand and as far as the amount of people you teach. So, you know, as I see these guys, all these guys that come through the program, you know, I came and I learned under Coach Salomon, and, you know, he taught me the game and he taught me life. And now, you know, I'm trying to help others, you know, and then branch off and show others what I was taught.
Kevin Gibbs with Shoot for Greatness, S4G, joining us here on The Double. Now, Kevin, I know that you have a busy schedule, but there's some things that have been happening in the professional realm over the past couple of days. If you've been paying attention to what's been going on in the NFL with Chris Carter and some of the things that he has said at NFL rookie symposiums, I don't know if you had a chance to catch wind of that, but in a synopsis, he was basically explaining that, you know, these young players need a fall guy when they're in areas that if they were to get arrested or something like that, have a fall guy to, you know, take the blame for some of their situations. For somebody such as yourself with a strong passion, how does that sit with you as far as a coach and a mentor?
Well, honestly, this is the first time I heard about the Chris Carter thing, but it's funny because it kind of hit home because I was actually thinking about that. I was thinking along the lines of, you know, I'm trying to create something in the mix of creating something for those guys. But, you know, I really don't think that they need a fall guy. I just think that, you know, they need to be held accountable or more and held responsible more, not only the players. I believe that the coaches, I believe that the coaches that these guys come along need more training, and they need more passion and more love for the game. Because, you know, I was saying the other day that, you know, you need a certain amount of hours to be a doctor. You need a certain amount of hours to be a lawyer. But anybody could just go and be a coach the next day. Tomorrow you could just say you're a coach and you got kids' lives in their hands. And a lot of these people is unqualified. And then as these kids are changing hands, AAU is coming up. Anybody could just pop up and be an AAU organization, be an AAU coach. And, you know, a basketball coach is more than just X's and O's. You have to, you know, mentor these kids. You have to lead them the right way. You have to show them the right way. And a lot of these coaches are not qualified, or they just see, you know, dollar signs on the kids, or they just see that a kid has a lot of potential, and, you know, they try to, you know, just build an organization around them. But it's a lot more than that. These kids are dealing with emotional, social, economical, educational difficulties that, you know, you need qualified people to help them in these areas. And a lot of these kids are not getting that. And when they're not getting that, you know, they're scoring 20 points and they're doing good, but then, you know, we want to come down on them when they're in the public eye. You got 18, 19, 20-year-old kids in the public eye, and, you know, they make mistakes. But their mistakes is going on TV, and their mistakes is going on social media, and everybody blames them. But they never look at, you know, they never look at how they was taught or who coached them and where they came from and where they came up under. And, you know, I think some of those people need to be held accountable also.
Now, Kevin, how long does it take for your preparation? Because it sounds like you have to choose your words carefully before you get out and you speak or present to these young athletes, because it is, I mean, what you're doing is you're molding their minds to, you know, and conditioning them to be great citizens of society.
Can you repeat that question? Sorry.
No, that's okay. I was just asking about the preparation, how much preparation is put in to what you do, because you have to be careful when using your words in preparing these kids in society.
It's all preparation. It's all preparation. You never stop learning. You never stop learning as a coach, a mentor. You should never stop being a student of basketball, of life, and you living and you learning every day. And as you get in your experiences and as you've been through your experiences, you pass that along. You pass that knowledge along to the guys so that they can fast forward things and they don't have to make the same mistakes that you made. And the things, the positive and good things that you have done, you know, you could give that to them also, and that could fast forward them from, you know, making a lot of mistakes. So I think that is very, 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 very crucial how you approach these guys, how you approach these athletes, what do you say to them, and how you say it to them, and are you getting your message through? Because you have to be able to get your message through to these guys, because it's a different day and age. It's a different day and age, and you got to be able to relate to them. The whole thing is you got to be able to relate to them in order to really get through to them, and there's a lot of different ways that you can do that. And, you know, sometimes you got to find different methods. Sometimes you might got to go through the back door in order to get your point across, but as long as they understand, that's the most important thing. You have to be able to plant those seeds and let them grow.
Kevin Gibbs joining us, the Director of Basketball Operations for ShootForGreat.com, Shooting for Greatness Academy in Raleigh, North Carolina. Kevin, you played college basketball and basketball through your whole life, and you're into fitness and personal training. Who have been guys that have taken you under their wing and mentors that have helped you get to where you're at?
I had a lot of people that helped me, but most importantly, I had a guy named Al Cruz. He helped me a lot. But most significantly is Coach Salomon. Coach Salomon, he taught me everything I know about basketball. He taught me a lot about life. And he took me under the wing, and he showed me the ropes of how to be a coach, how to be a mentor, how to be a player. I came up under him. I learned basketball through him. He taught me basketball. And I think he's one of the best trainers. I think he is the best trainer and one of the best coaches out there that's under the radar. And, you know, as more athletes start to come up under him and come up under me, we starting to see this thing grow. A lot of our athletes are doing really good. So, you know, it's a good system. We have a different, a much different approach. We have more of a, player style approach where we, you know, we try to give the players a lot more freedom and a lot more leniency to, you know, put forth the things that we teach them, not try to overcoach. We have a philosophy where we say that, you know, we're not trying to overcoach. We're going to let the players play. We're going to prepare the players for a lot of different situations and let them react to it. We give them a lot of options. You know, we try not to have so many set plays where, you know, we tell you to do this and do that. We're probably the only offenses we run five people on the outside. So we spread them out, and we usually average about 95 to 100 points a game.
That sounds like some exciting basketball for sure. The Shooting for Greatness Academy in Raleigh, North Carolina. Kevin Gibbs, you're doing great work. You and Coach Kyle Solomon, thank you so much for your insight, your time tonight. We appreciate you putting a link to our previous interview up on the website. And visit shootforgreat.com for everything the Shooting for Greatness Academy has to offer. Kevin, keep up the great work.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
All right, Kevin.
All right.
There goes Kevin Gibbs, staying up late back east in Raleigh, North Carolina, approaching the 11 o'clock hour, Sean.
Well, you know, Shoot for Greatness is an awesome, awesome program, and that's the reason why we had Kevin back on the show. I mean, they're doing some awesome stuff, not just on the court, but in the classroom as well. I mean, they're making sure that they're preparing these kids for college and you know, maintaining that consistency. And, you know, along with the academic programs, they're helping with the SAT, ACT prep. They're doing individualized academic profiles and study halls. So it's not just on the court, it's off the court. And Sean Wally, the reason why I brought up the whole Chris Carter thing, of course, because Fu brought it up at the beginning of the show. And I wanted to know from, you know, from the people who are down there grinding it at the, you know, at the secondary level, meaning, you know, the middle school, high school, and then leading them into college levels, you know, what those types of words can do when you have a whole slew of people that are helping pave the way and molding the minds of these young individuals. And then we just have a slip up. We have a slip up like what Chris Carter did. And of course, he's apologized. So I don't want to beat the dead horse, but I don't want it to go without, you know, notice that we can't say these types of things because they could be dangerous. Now, you know, somebody might say, hey, Sean, you know, you're taking it a little too serious or this, that, and the other. But when you're talking about new athletes, especially when we're looking at the Greg Hardys and the Ray Rices and stuff like that, to where it just seems like there's problem after problem after problem happening in our professional sports, it's good to know that we have people like Kevin Gibbs that are actually standing in the gap and helping our youth. And hopefully, you know, when they get to that level of making a lot of money, they can make the right choice.
Absolutely. And that's what it's all about, is learning what the right path is. And I mean, when you're young, you understand right and wrong, yet sometimes wrong is easier, or maybe you get the better result quicker, but the repercussions haven't shown their face yet, haven't reared their ugly head. Oh, well, I'm going to grab this cookie in the cookie jar when nobody's looking. Sure, right away it's great, but hey, when mom and dad find out, troubles are brewing.
Yeah, you know, and of course, you know, you hear this old adage, it takes a village to raise a child. And if there's enough rearing, meaning that, you know, we're teaching these kids the right way and giving them the right advice on a consistent basis, then maybe sometimes, you know, when they come to, you know, the Freudian slips, if you will, the Chris Carters that make these, you know, these bad decisions and advice, then maybe it doesn't affect them. But at the same time, you just never, never know, especially when, you know, we're, again, in this time, this day and age, to where, you know, the commissioners of any professional league have to be on guard because, you know, some of the, let's just face it, stupid, silly things that these young athletes, and actually, I'd say older athletes, are doing as well.
Well, speaking of, the Washington State Cougars lead the nation in one poll, in one thing that they probably don't want to. The most arrests in college NCAA World since 2013 belong to the Washington State Cougars.
So basically what you're saying is they are the San Francisco 49ers of the Pac-12.
Or national champions of arrests. Let's give them a trophy.
Well, gosh, man, that's not the way to go. I know that Mike Leach, that's not how he wants to hang his hat. But, gosh, man, at some point you gotta change that. And I know that Leach is a hard-nosed type of a person. But, man, I mean, he maybe has to put some more accountable people around him to help these guys see. And let's face it. I know we're going to get a lot of calls for this, but you're out in the Palouse, man. I mean, you're out in the middle of nowhere. And, I guess maybe your mind can wander and do some things that they probably wouldn't in other situations. Who knows?
Well, hey, you know, following Chris Carter's logic, maybe the Cougars need fall guys.
hey, Don, maybe we should get some Lee Majors, the Fall Guy theme music out, the Unknown Stuntman. Boy, I'm telling on my age. That's something in like the mid-80s when that song came, or when that show came out. But, yeah, the Fall Guy. You know, everybody should have one, I guess, according to Chris Carter.
What's funny about that is apparently Chris Carter said that 2-3 years ago. It wasn't just yesterday, but it's big news now.
Well, you know, and this is something that Fu and I had talked about earlier, because that was the discussion. Why now? Why is this a big deal when this should have been dealt with, a couple of years ago? Actually, it was about a year ago that this happened. But it was pre-Ray Rice. It was pre-Greg Hardy. It was when all was good in the NFL. Now, all of a sudden, this video pops up, and it has Warren Sapp in there, who's actually doing time right now. And so people want to talk about it. Where's the accountability? And that's the thing that Fu was talking to me about was where's the accountability right then and there? Why do we play Monday morning quarterback when it comes to saying the right things, doing the right things? And that's something that really, really needs to be worked out. Otherwise, we're just talking, you know, through our necks, and this stuff will keep happening over and over again.
And hopefully that's not the case. And Sean, there were some preseason football games over the past weekend, and your Raiders, my Seahawks, both on the field. And, you know, some things looked okay and others still need work.
Yeah. And so, you know, of course the Raiders started out pretty good in week 1 and, you know, handling things in their victory. And, you know, when you win, it's something that you can say, hey, this is a step in the right direction, and we can't wait to start the regular season. But when you lose, you know, it's always, well, it's the preseason, and it doesn't really mean anything. Well, when you're the Oakland Raiders who finished 3-13, 2-14, and, you know, your best season as of recent years was 8-8, it's important to get the wins. But, you know, they didn't. They played, you know, Minnesota, and you know, they lost 20-12. They didn't, you know, start out great. But the cool thing is that I believe that we learned some things. We learned some things on how we need to get better as far as our corners are concerned. And you can be rest assured that Reggie McKenzie will definitely be looking on the waiver wires when these rosters drop from 73 to 53, and he's going to want to pick up some players. And I think what he has an eye for is our defensive backs and running backs. I don't think that he's content with the running backs that he has now. I know Michael Dyer, you know, from Auburn University and Louisville, I have a personal favorite for. And then, you know, I know that Trent Richardson is in camp, but he hasn't shown well. So I know that Reggie's looking at that running back position, and maybe he can pick one up in the waiver wires in about a week.
Well, hey, up in Seattle, it looks like Thomas Rawls or Kristen Michael might be available when cut day gets here. So it's really interesting to see who wins the backup to the backup job. Kristen Michael, Thomas Rawls, both have shown flashes, but neither consistent enough to take the job in Seattle.
Well, you know, Sean, one of the teams that I was kind of impressed with yesterday was, and I would mention this to you, were, you know, the San Francisco 49ers offensive line, and then one Jarryd Hayne. Now, if you don't know who Jaron Hayne is, for all of our listeners out there, and I don't expect you to know, but in the next month or so, because I believe he's going to make this 53-man roster, this young man is the Michael Jordan of the Australian Rules Football League. You can call it rugby, but, you know, Australians would say, don't you dare mix rugby with Australian rules football. They're two different things.
Yeah, Sean, that is a big. You will start brawls down in Australia. Trust me. I was there. I learned myself. You don't mix the two. They're oil and water.
Well, here's what I learned, though. You put shoulder pads and, you know, and a helmet on and a rugby player, and this guy can actually be an awesome football player. Jaron Hayne has been doing miraculous things both as a running back and a kickoff returner. I was excited to watch, you know, this guy doing kickoff returns and running the ball. But more importantly, I thought that the 49ers, because they lost 20 players from the season before, that they wouldn't look like anything. They would look like a shell of themselves. And they actually have a lot of fight, Sean. So I'm surprised at that. Colin Kaepernick looked about the same, but I would expect some decent things from San Francisco. So let's not count them out in the beginning.
Well, hey, it is still preseason, so I'll caution you on your excitement in 49er Nation.
Hey, I didn't say I was excited. I didn't say that I was excited. And if I wanted to take a step further, well, gosh, the Cowboys just looked horrible. So it's no barometer. I get that. I understand that. But whenever we deem America's team as the Super Bowl favorite year in and year out, I think the 49ers looked okay. I got to give it to them for that.
Well, apparently, John in Lakewood, Fu Man, is our number one fan because he is back out here with us on the double. John, how can we help you out tonight?
Fellas, I had a question for Mr. Boyd. I know he's down in the Bay Area and stuff. And, you know, I don't know if it's funny or what, but that's why I bring it to you guys' attention. You're familiar with KTVU, one of the stations down there, Sean?
Yeah, that's one of the Bay Area affiliates down here.
Yeah, for Fox, I believe. And yeah, you guys, you know, recently, unfortunately, there was the Asiana Flight 214 that crashed. And
right.
Just the, you know, what the narrative is on the media today, because you guys all know you guys are in production and stuff. For something to make it onto the television screen, it's, you know, a font coordinator, a graphics operator, a producer, director. There's a couple of people that have to do it. And with this Asiana Flight 214, they posted video and graphics that Something Wong,
oh,
We Too Low, and Holy Fuck, Holy Fuck.
So, oh, my God.
I don't know what to, I don't know what to say about that. I guess it's also kind of like the little leaguer that was playing on ESPN the other day, and his favorite group was One Direction. But instead of our typical writing of One Direction, it said One Die, like Wanda with an I on the end, and then the last name was Rection. So, nevertheless, it's like you said, Sean, earlier, it's semantics, words, and what you use, but I don't know if Asiana Flight 214, you know, there was deaths involved. Me, myself, and I, when I read those things, it reminded me of some old Mel Brooks movies, and I actually got a laugh out of it. If it was in a platform such as Saturday Night Live or something like that, but considering it was a regular newscast where there's supposed to be some credibility, it's really surprising to me that this got on air.
Well, thank you, Fu Man, for bringing that back to our attention. But yeah, there on a serious note, there were two deaths. One death happened when one of the fire trucks was actually trying to save some of the people, and a young lady ran in front of the fire truck and they rolled over her. So that was bad. You know, here's the thing about the media, and here's the thing about the humanistic side of information. And I think, you know, I've talked to you about this before, Fu, as far as, you know, people wanting to be the first to give information. and not finding the credibility. What happened was, is that information came through the waiver wire, and you know what this television station did is they jumped on the very first thing because they wanted to be the first. And when they did that, they realized in hindsight, the producer, I'm sure, just felt like, holy cow, what in the world have we done? The phone lines, you know, went crazy. And then they later apologized. but man, I thought you were gonna bring something up as far as the Chris Carter stuff. Who knew? Hey, you know what, John? This is... I'm totally shocked, man. Obviously. But thank goodness I knew what was going on as far as that's concerned. Yeah, bad journalism at its finest by that television station. So, man, thanks for bringing that up, John.
Hey, no worries. I mean, the bottom line is they were too low.
Yeah.
Have a good week, you guys. We'll talk to you next week.
All right.
And John in Lakewood, Fu Man, drops the mic and he is out. Good night to John Wittig.
Whew. Oh my gosh, wow, man. I think we're gonna end it with that, man. So man, Sean, give us a rundown of our awesome guest on show. Is this 117?
This is 117. Dare I say on the double flight 117 after what Wittig brought us, but hey.
Awesome.
A lot of stuff. Awesome tonight. I'm not sure about the last couple minutes, but Michael Wansley, a.k.a. Wands of Thrift Shop fame, Macklemore fame, bringing his knowledge, his story, his insight of how he never let his dream die. Even when he thought it wouldn't happen and it was time to give up music, somebody let him know in 08, 09. It's not about the amount of people in the crowd. It's about your love for music and let that shine. And a few years later, 3 years ago, almost to the day, Thrift Shop was born. Big time guest number two, Kevin Gibbs with ShootForGreat.com, the Shooting for Greatness Academy in Raleigh, North Carolina, doing great things, not only training young athletes, but coaching and mentoring them as well.
Man, what an awesome show, man, to have two dynamic people, you know, one, you know, explaining the struggles in life and then the other coming on and actually showing how to mentor properly and help today's youth, not just on the court, on the field or on the diamond, but in life in general. Man, I love what we do, Sean Wally. I really do. And you know, it's shows like this that, you know, make it all worth it, man. And to have two cool guests on here makes me look forward to another week of On the Double, man.
Well, Sean, I can tell you that Wands has already responded to me and said, thank you guys. Let me know if I can do anything for you. Keep up the great work. And Kevin Gibbs, late back in North Carolina, I thanked him for being on the show. He said, no, thank you. The pleasure is all mine.
That's awesome stuff, and we love it. We love it. And so if you want to send information in to On the Double, you can always email us at Sean, S-H-A-W-N, at double-s-express.com, or to yours truly at Sean, S-E-A-N, at double-s-express.com. You can also catch us on Twitter at double-s-express, and that's double-s-express.com, or you can catch us live every week on Mondays at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time at www.bbsradio.com/DSX. Boy, Sean, I'm telling you, I'm giving out a lot of information. Show number 117 is in the books, man, and I'm excited about it. And I won't give our quote, Sean Wally. I will give the quote from one Michael A. Wansley. Do something good for yourself, then go do it for others. Man, that is a great, great quote. This has been a DSX LLC production for Sean Wally up in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, yay!
Sean Boyd at the EG Studios in Elk Grove, California, and Don Newsom in Paradise, California, along with special guest tonight, John Fu Man Wittig, thanks for giving your input. Whew. You've been listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. Join us next Monday for some more great sports talk and big-time guests. On the Double with the Double S Express.